want bullet hair. You say that. You know, she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from NASA or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Look how I'm living now. Police be tripping now. Yeah, this is America.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is November 6th and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. This is one day after United States general election and we seem to have a new president and that president is or will be Donald Trump, number 47. This surprised many. And today's conversation is, how does this impact the Bahamas? How does this relate to how we do politics? And what does this mean for parties that were kicked out last elections, like the FNM? What does it mean for senior members of parliament who had been ushered to the side, Hubert Minnis? President Trump went through some trials. I did not expect him to win. I didn't even expect him to get a nomination for the Republican Party, but he did. This good gentleman had two impeachments. I think about 20 different charges he found guilty on, right?
34 felony counts.
See, look at that, even going up. 34 felony counts, right? All kind of accusations where if it was a normal candidate, he would not have survived. He would not have gotten the nomination. He would not have been the standard bearer for the Republican Party, nor being eligible to run in the United States presidential election. But I can put that aside because what happened, happened, right? I want to analyze what happened also to cause this. But I'm also watching the Senate. I think that the Republicans would have got the majority of that. It looks like any minute now the Republicans are going to claim the Congress also. I did not anticipate that. And they now looking like they get a majority of governors also. It's like a total landslide, a total changing of blue to red. Something happened. Something happened that despite what was supposed to be the obvious, that Americans said, man, no, I'm going to cast my vote this way because I don't agree with that way. Right? And I want to know, can that happen here in the Bahamas? So I have Erin Green join me. I'm going to bait her.
You already did. Can?
No, but let me bait you first then.
I mean, you already did.
No, but let me bait you more. You ready?
What type of grouper do you think I am?
He's a big grouper. That they call them Jewfish. Them big set, right? What happened? How can a man with so much things against him, who all of the political pundits, the independent political pundits or reputable newspapers and journalists already proclaim that Trump will not win? We ain't talking about Fox. We're talking about reputable one who did the numbers and all the theories of what could go left and right and conclude not only would Miller Harris win, but she's going to win definitely.
All right.
What happened?
Is hubris the thing that, like, where your ego blinds you to your own downfall?
That's hubris.
Right? Okay. So I think what the Democrats did not acknowledge or maybe refuse to acknowledge is this. Trump was a questionable character in the 2020, the 2016 election.
Uh-huh.
This boy was already...
We know who he was.
Right.
Nothing changed.
Exactly. So coming into this election with your primary argument being this guy is a bad guy. This guy is Mr. Grab him by the genitals. That the American people already who would vote for him, they already passed that point.
They moved past that.
They moved past that. Yeah, we know that. We still considering voting for him.
But why so did they consider voting for him though? What was the thing that grabbed it? There's a gravitas to them, to him. To the
people think is a gravitas to the party may actually be a repulsion from the opponent.
Oh, let's stay there for a minute. I want you to repeat that and then explain what you said just now.
What many people presume is an attraction to Trump, right? You could hear them saying, who are these people? These, you know, who would vote for Trump?
How what, dare they?
What's it? No, who are they? What type of people are they? Mm-hmm. Are they? Are they scoundrels like him?
Mm-hmm.
That's the wrong approach to it,
mm-hmm.
because you presume that they're attracted to him because they are like him,
mm-hmm.
when it may be that they are not like him at all, but they are so repulsed by the opposition, by his opposition, that they are prepared to stand on the side that Trump is on.
In the Bahamas, we have a saying during the election. Every time our election coming by, they say you have the vote.
And
they
hold on, pause. Only elect, you know, it's only politicians who say that, right?
Yeah, but let me say that first.
Okay.
They say worse for the lesser evil. They say both sides are evil, but vote for the lesser evil. I'm not sure if you ever heard that, but it's a common phrase.
Oh, yeah, no. You heard it when I say, oh, you know, you have a viable alternative that allows you to exercise your constitutionally granted power, right, of the vote. You could go in as a registered voter with your ballot and spoil it because they have to count the spoiled ballots.
We ain't doing
that.
Exactly.
That's the first thing they say. And then the second thing they say is, yeah, you're voting for two evils, but it's the lesser of the two evils that you must choose, right? That's how the conversation goes. No, they're alternates, right? And that's what one of the reasons why Trump won is because the wrongest thing to do, right? The least effective strategy is to draw a line in the sand, and there are only two sides of the line. There's only two options you give people. And if you are not compelling to them, it doesn't matter what's going on the other side of the line, they're going to jump on the other side of the line.
So do you believe in this election, the United States election for president, presidential election,
mm-hmm.
there was a concept or a theory that vote for the lesser of two evils? The last of two.
Yes, it was.
And by what conclude it, is it safe to assume that many Americans believe that Donald Trump and the Republican Party is the least evil group in contrast to the Democrat Party? Is that what happened? I mean, in theory.
Right.
I'm not saying that's
right.
Exactly what happened.
Because we still need to look at the number of people eligible to vote and the number of people who actually voted, right? Because we need to know how many people abstain.
Mm-hmm.
Many people abstain and say, I can't vote for either side.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm a Republican, I can't vote for Trump. Same thing we heard as the explanation for the Minnis FNM routing, right? Like 45,000, whole bunch of people stayed home.
Yeah.
They weren't going to vote for Minnis and they not.
Mm-hmm.
So that we need to know how many people opted to not vote. Right? To get a fairer sense of whether that's true or not.
So you believe that there should be some analysis of how people voted and try to find out why people voted. And perhaps the Democrats, in this case, because they lost, they need to analyze and appreciate how people felt and why they did not get the support?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think the way that media has been doing political analysis, post-election political analysis over the last several terms has been ineffective, right? And misguided and misdirected because they don't want to take into account their impact, how their presence in the conversation shape the conversation, how media shapes how people vote, and how media is a big part of drawing this line in the sand. And the politicians will even tell you, oh, the third party is going to be a debt votes away from the party that you want to win. But in effect, a third party could be a positive thing. If the Democrats hadn't drawn this line in the sand that says, oh, they're only Republicans and Democrats. There's only, if you ain't voting for Kamala, then you voting for Trump. You take away Jill Stein, you take away the Libertarian Party, and even Cornel West was there, and then RFK Jr.,
yeah,
right, was in the mix. People voting for those people isn't necessarily a detriment to your party, right? You may convince people who would vote for Trump if there were no alternative to vote for one of these alternatives. Say, look here, you don't have to vote for me, you know, but look, check out a Jill Stein, check out these other places where you can put your support.
So it's either all or none, and they end up with none.
There you go.
You mentioned media and the impact of media. Who controlled media during this election?
Well, now that is an interesting one, because we got to go back. You got to go through the paperwork, and I think it's fair to presume that there were like five people or five entities that controlled the Global North media. And so we know that there's a small handful of people that control media, what is published, what messaging comes out. And that's why One America, if you see these small channels, they gain such popularity because they are the only spaces where people can find these alternate voices, right? These smaller voices, because media is being controlled.
Media is being controlled.
I mean, if you think about it, with only five owners, say even if you call it 10, only 10 owners, there is control to some degree.
I'm going to behemonize this conversation now, but I see we have callers. I'm going to put the callers through. I'm going to ask you this question. It's a loaded question too. Did you anticipate a Trump victory? Let's hear the yes or no.
Yeah.
You saw that he's going to win for sure. No, they said that. Not that he could have won, no. That he was going to win.
Listen, I thought Trump is going to win all the way up until a conversation I had yesterday with somebody who, and it stuck out to me because it referenced something I had in my notes from the show about the polls that they had access to and the nature of the polls, right? So like, this is not CNN. These are the most reputable polling entities in the country, and apparently they had Kamala ahead by a landslide. Yeah, and I thought, oh, well, maybe it's going to be close. But
the polls I was looking at said it was too close to call. Things that you found offensive in terms of this campaign. I'm not sure how Americans do it all the time. They have celebrities come and pitch why you should vote for somebody.
We do the same thing here.
Who celebrity do you have?
We only have politicians are the only celebrities we have.
We have a celebrity?
That politicians are
our celebrities.
Are our celebrities, and that's who does the pitching.
Yeah, but I guess they had celebrities. All these people with all these
Spike Lee.
See, I can't listen to a Spike Lee to
Cuban.
Vote. No,
yeah, I agree with you.
And they come not intellectuals or
academics
to say this is the reason why you should vote this
social
way.
Social commentators,
even that, none of them.
Right, see, like a Cornel West could come out and tell me that, right? Cornel West is part celebrity,
yeah,
right? But he's also a political advocate, right? He's also an academic,
yes,
right? I think it is not just offensive, but it's very concerning, right? And I this is the connection to the Bahamas in terms of the impact of cultural imperialism, right? American politics has become a celebrity politics, a personality politics, right? And no, I don't want Taylor Swift telling me who to vote for.
What about those people who attended P. Diddy parties and they coming out and endorsing people?
No.
I see a lot of them endorsing a particular person.
I remember when C-SPAN, I remember when we used to turn on the satellite and C-SPAN, right? And it's like, oh, we got to find something else to watch. Now, I don't know where C-SPAN is, where people should be turning in,
yeah,
to get their political insight.
Let's go to the callers.
Not MTV.
We have the audacity.
Yeah.
And they make it mainstream. Let's go to the callers and try to have it rigid in terms of the conversation. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Hello, you're on.
Yes, good day.
Turn on your radio and go ahead.
Okay, sorry.
Go ahead, caller. No?
Sorry, okay, about that,
go, caller. Sorry about that, caller. Call back. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, CA, good morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Very interesting conversation both of you are having in studio now. And in particular, what piqued my interest was the mention of persons who were not part of the traditional, well, in the case of the United States, Democrats and the Republicans. But you had persons representing, for instance, the Green Party, and now this other party that you just mentioned just now.
Mm-hmm. Jill Stein is the Green Party.
Right. I liken that here to the Bahamas, where we make the same fatal mistake here in our politics. Everyone seems to believe that the only two parties that can govern this country is the progressive movement, when we have many other persons who may be part of other parties that we call third parties or alternative parties that have a contribution to make, that is serious about nation building, that wants their voice to be heard, and they also want to participate in putting in the work. But the electorate, because we are so steeped into PLP and FNM, that these persons would not be given a chance. I'm looking forward to an opportunity one of these times where a third party, if I could term it like that, can be introduced into our parliament, where these persons' voice can represent that sector that is not a part of the Free National Movement or the Progressive Liberal Party, because there are many persons out here who don't subscribe to either of these parties. I think we are doing ourselves a disservice in believing that these persons' voices are not valid and they don't have a contribution to make. We are going to try and shift this landscape, because you have a sector of society that don't believe in the Progressive Liberal Party. We have a sector of the society who don't believe in the Free National Movement. In fact, they want nothing to do with either party. But the Bahamian electorate, because you say the majority rules during the election, they keep on putting in these same people who, when you really look at them, to be honest with you, they serve their own self-interest, and they're not truly interested in the survivability, per se, of the Bahamian working class in this country. It is incumbent upon we as Bahamians to make this change. We have to stop playing party politics. We have to stop playing this popularity contest. We said people are voting for personalities. I'm looking at the policies for this country to move this country forward, but they want to vote for popularity. They want to vote for party.
Okay.
Thank you.
We are shooting ourselves in the foot, and only we can correct this. So thanks for taking my call this morning.
Okay.
Absolutely. I got a text here in response to what you just said. It says, it must happen. The third party, if the third party is worthy and has good candidates and policies, we can't do that just for the sake of having a third party. Here's the next thing. You know, we need to expand the anti-poaching bill.
What do you mean?
Third parties are actually doing pretty well, right? It's not the third party, the people in the third party in and of itself that's the problem, really. It's the two existing established parties, they're very good poachers. That's what I realized in my analysis. It's not like people don't have the will. There was the CDR, there's the DNA, there's lots of them, right? Mm-hmm. It's the FNM and the PLP have figured out how to stop a third party in its infancy by poaching.
Yeah.
They like poach eggs.
I understand. Let's call it there.
Yeah.
Is there space for a return? Like how there was a great big comeback of a Donald Trump, despite all what he's gone through? Is there space for a return of a Hubert Minnis?
Okay, first of all, I see the comparison. I don't know if it's the most appropriate. I don't know if Minnis could be juxtaposed to a Trump in any sense.
Yeah.
In any sense.
He was rejected. That's a sense there. And now, can he come back?
Trump say he wasn't rejected. And I can tell you what, for the next 4 years, he can tell you that he wasn't rejected. He's back in his rightful place like Mustafa.
Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Good morning, Brother Nuri.
Good morning.
Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
Firstly, this gentleman is on just before me. He makes it sound like the government say, you can't have a third party.
I mean,
had, like you said, we had several third parties. From Henry Borswick.
Yeah.
We had the DNA. We have the COI. They just start attracting people to vote for them.
No, what I was saying was not that. It's not that they're not attracting people to vote for them. It's that they are being cannibalized. in the most immaculate and impressive ways before they could even get to a place of viability. That's what I was saying.
The best way to beat a team is, mm-hmm. is to get the head. Or get those in authority and you're straight. But a lot of people are talking about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are not really looking at his vice president, you know.
Vance?
That, I believe that young man is more dangerous than Donald Trump.
Okay.
Don't forget he called Donald Trump the U.S. Hitler. That man is more dangerous than Donald Trump. God forbid something would happen to Donald Trump halfway in. And that man had to take over. You think they have problems now?
There ain't no problems now. America is the land of the free and the brave.
You following up on the vice president now?
We'll watch and see.
Watch out for him.
Yeah, we're watching.
He's dangerous. Watch out for him.
I appreciate you, Cola. Yeah.
You telling me that within the first 100 days, we can hear people talking about a Vance Trump administration as opposed to a Trump Vance administration?
Look where you're going. Earlier during the break, you were entertaining conspiracy theories. I'm beating you again.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Project 2025. And I said, I paid attention to these people propaganda and trying to scare me. There was a number of fear-mongering. Do it here in the Bahamas, where we tell you, if you vote for this, it's the end of the world. You know, the Bahamas is going to sink. The Democrats said, if Trump returned, the U.S. economy would collapse. It's going to be the end of the Western world as we see it. I'm now wondering, now that that comes into fruition, can we anticipate the collapse of the United States by extension the collapse of the Bahamas, by extension the collapse of the Caribbean, by extension the collapse of North and South America? Is
by
this the end?
The collapse of Trump's hemisphere?
Yeah. Is it a place now where we say we are doomed? Because that's what the Democrats are saying. This is the end of the world as we know it.
So, okay, watch this. You heard about Project 2025?
I saw it nice about I remember those digs, man.
So I did some research for a show. I'm not sure if we got to talk about it in depth. And the research that I did, right? I read about Project 2025. I thought, okay, this is a Republican idea. It even starts about Project 2025. The actions of liberal politicians in Washington have created a desperate need and unique opportunity for conservatives to start undoing. The left has wrought and built a better country for all Americans in 2025, right? I thought that sounded reasonable. Mm. I mean, I'm not a conservative. I'm not a liberal either. Mm-hmm. But it sounded reasonable, right? Mm-hmm. I read on Project 2025 pillars, policy agenda, personnel database. That's a little concerning. Like, why you need a whole personnel database for Project 2025? That's concerning. Training, 180-day playbook. The time is short and conservatives need a plan. The project will create a playbook of actions to be taken in the first 180 days of the new administration to bring quick relief to Americans from the left's devastating policies. And then I saw a flyer that had like a list of things that Project 2025 is going to do. I looked at this flyer and I thought, this cannot be real. I'm going to throw it in the bush. Mm-hmm. It was electronic. I needed my phone. But the point is, they had things on it like they're going to remove African-American studies from all curricula, from primary, secondary, and tertiary, well, I don't know about tertiary, but primary and secondary curricula in the country. That's foolishness. Somebody made this up.
Of course.
A liberal made this up to lie on, no, it was true. That's the actual flyer from the organization.
You remember when Trump was ushered in the last, not this just election, the election before when he became president?
2016.
And there was a Tea Party. And the Tea Party was separate and apart from the Republican Party, but a part of the Republican Party with all kind of skewed views, right? This 2025 project is another small faction who's trying to lobby for whatever they want to lobby.
Why should
I be a concern about a small group? It's supposed to be sensible. The people sensible. Take and vote against
it. Listen, apparently the Heritage Foundation, which produced Project 2025, it's supposed to be a reputable institution. If I could read on, I see you got a couple calls there. Project 2025, also known as the Presidential Transition Project, is a collection of conservative and right-wing policy proposals from the Heritage Foundation to reshape the United States federal government and consolidate executive power should the Republican candidate win the 2024 election. This article goes on to say, the Heritage Foundation is well-funded by independent sources so as not to be controlled by any one political
They make it seem as if the United States system does not work, that there's no Congress, that there's no Senate, right? That one president is able to do all of this by himself, right? That they have a dictatorial type system. They have check and balance. The United States is one of the greatest countries in the world. Right, so when they put this fair mongering and reasonable thinking, people said, "Wait, I could be sleeping, eh? I could be dead, eh? You know, cause this can't happen whilst I'm still here." So that fear could not come into realization because it cannot exist with a wild, sensible people
You mean the way that the Sovereign Wealth Fund Act was repealed and the National Investment Fund Act replaced it? And there was merely a whisper or a whimper because there's a supermajority and essentially the parliament could just do what it wants. And even then, we don't have any real substantive public outcry or response to said political control.
Look where you gone. Remind me about that Sovereign Wealth Fund again. Let's go to the caller's stem there. I saw you call a call back. I'll go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
CA, good morning, Aaron.
Morning. Morning.
This is one of my what ifs. That's the Monday quarterback. Like, what if Joe Biden in January said he didn't run no more? Because everybody can see he has, after taking all them vaccine and booster shot, I see him getting weaker and weaker. Like, what if he had a normal primary and let this like governor of California, he could have battled Trump. Trump need like a dirty fighter just like him, but Kamala going high, he going low. And he playing with people. The Latinos take the Mexicans take the Hondurans. One thing I know, Latinos all hate blacks. And she had 3 months to run in a race that didn't even like her as vice president. And she just didn't have a chance. But she sang a good song. But the white Americans, the Midwest,
okay,
they want to make America white again.
So you're saying
Trump was playing with everybody.
So, right, so you're saying that if they had put Sleepy Uncle Joe, who fall asleep at every press conference since 1995, if they had put him up against Trump, he stood a chance to win?
He should have retired from a year from January.
Oh, and given Kamala more time.
Anymore.
Would it have given...
Let the primary, let the Democratic men and women fight each other, and they would become more known. Like, California, the governor, he is smart. He's intelligent, and he's a white man.
So now,
black people in America right now is hard. She's a pretty woman, but they didn't buy it. Although Trump is telling on ruthless and rude, I mean, like, I'm like scared to leave NATO, Ukraine, and they're having a fit.
Do you think
Trump have more power?
But just before we go, because we got another caller, do you think that Kamala's position on Israel and Palestine impacted the vote significantly?
No, not really. No, that's Donald Trump. That's Donald Trump being a showman. Remember that he's the best con artist the world have ever seen. He sells everybody what they want to hear. He sells you what you want to hear. He's good. He's a New Yorker. They are
Thank
smart.
Thank you very much, caller.
Street smart.
Thank you very much.
He of the Latinos fighting each other. The Puerto Ricans don't like the Cubans. The Cubans don't like the blacks. And the Midwest rednecks, they don't like nobody.
That's ontological whiteness for you, then.
Yeah, a lot of conspiracy theory too. Let's go to the next caller. Right with that. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
No, they can't hear you. Hit the button.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call Grant once. Call Grant twice. Okay. So Aaron, do you believe there's room for a return of him? You don't believe
No. He
could come back? No, let me give you an example. The Prime Minister of Barbados,
Motley,
was fired from a party. Fired just from unceremoniously move whatever it is, they said they don't like her.
Was she was she the leader when she was fired?
She was the leader of the party.
Was she prime minister when
she
was fired?
No, she's leader of the party.
Okay.
And she was fired. Unceremony, no, a vote of no confidence.
Uh-huh.
Then she came back and became leader of the party, became prime minister of Barbados, and not only became prime minister of Barbados, when she ran the election, she won every seat. There's no opposition in Barbados at all. It's just the government. No opposition. Can Minnis have a return if he gets nominated, that is, because I know if he can get nominated to run, you don't believe his space.
No, because he got fired as a PM.
That'd be just a difference.
There's a big difference.
Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, Collie. Can you hear me?
Hey. Hey. Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing well.
Okay. The past 9 years, right? Every white American, every white American was being called a racist, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you were a white American, now this is a 70%. This is a 70% white majority. I told my friends who I speak with, I say that 70% is going to show up in the next election, and that's what happened last night. Or yesterday.
Why, who? This thing where you say 9 years ago, every white person in America was called a racist. Why? Who's calling them racist? Who's calling all of them racist?
If you check the news, right? This thing about Trump being a racist didn't come up until 2016. Now,
I mean, it did. It wasn't. No.
Yes,
the Central Park Five. People talk about Trump and his predilection for white supremacy.
Before 2016, we didn't hear anything. If you check all the photos, all the associations, all the persons that he hung out with, there was nothing to support this view of him being racist.
I understand what it is. Okay. Hold on. Yeah. I understand what it is. What it is that the common man's perception of what racism is has changed. Like, now you all understand, and it's more than just, I have black friends, so I can't be racist. More than that.
That people could have black friends
and be racist. They could have a black wife and be racist.
Evan,
they could have black children and be racist.
Yeah. See, and the idea of even a black person being racist,
it doesn't exist because racism. Pause. It doesn't exist because racism is about a system of power. Black people can be prejudiced, can exercise prejudice towards, and can discriminate in some limited senses. But there's no such thing as reverse racism.
Okay, if racism is based on power, what happens when a black person gets the power?
Which power? You mean the power that Mother Pratt has? Where she have to go to England and ask the king? That type of power?
Okay, in the Bahamas, right?
Or you mean like the type of power that Cuba thought they had, and then the U.S. said, think again? Or like the type of power that the Haitians thought they had?
In the Bahamas, we are talking about the same thing, but in two different categories. Okay, now, we know persons who are as black as we are, and we know they are racist.
No, they're not racist. I see you insisting, ignoring what I'm saying. There are people who are as dark as night. Remember Paul Simon, Joseph Skin, things shone in his eyes? The point is that they are ontologically white. They are so consumed, white language, white systems, white culture, music, that they forget that they are not white, and that while it may appear on the surface that they are enjoying the privileges and benefits of whiteness, the only thing they could be doing is merely perpetuating whiteness to the benefit of Europeans. That's it.
Okay, so
we know we have another caller too.
You you are saying, right, that being a racist is just something that a white person can do?
Yes, because you need to understand.
No, no, no,
you
no,
need to
no,
understand,
no, no.
Sir. I don't have enough time to enroll you.
Huh?
I don't have enough time to enroll you into UB for the academic course that explains what racism is and who created it.
Really,
it is a construct that was created by producer. Put it on mute for a second. It is a construct that was created by a small set of Europeans who wanted to privilege their people. You want to be white so bad that you think that you could be racist.
Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Okay, we're going to take a quick break. What time it is? Yeah, it is break time. We're talking about American politics. We're talking about the American election, presidential election. We're talking about the Senate, the Congress. Then we juxtaposing it to the Bahamas. And what can we expect? Is there room for a ministry return? Is there room for the FNM under a Pintad leadership to return? Can they make themselves attractive despite the popularity of the Progressive Liberal Party, right? They seem to be doing everything. Are the Progressive Liberal Party satisfying the Bahamian palate?
Are they satisfying their own manifesto, their own promises, their own agenda?
That's a different thing altogether. We'll be right back in after the short break.
The Nassau Guardian is celebrating 180 years. And we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping to make this one of the oldest newspapers in the region. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge giveaway promotion beginning October 28th through November 22nd. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 years logo printed every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win prize money. Just purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day beginning Monday, October 28th. Find the 180th Nassau Guardian logo, cut out the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on that clipping, drop off your entries at our offices on Carter Street in Oaksfield, and every Friday, November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and it will take place. It's that simple.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Get ready to indulge in the freshest seafood in town. The Seafood Bistro is now open at East Street South Super Value Plaza. From juicy lobster tails to crispy conch and delicious snapper, our menu has something for everyone. Don't miss out on our irresistible flavors that will leave you craving more.
Doesn't it taste good, eh?
Visit us today at East Street South Super Value Plaza.
And let us take your taste buds on an unforgettable journey.
For more information, call 1-242-802-8800.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. The lines are flow. I mean, all kind of red and green and different colors. But before then, I want to read this. Join the Nassau Guardian as we celebrate our milestone, 180th anniversary on November 23rd, 2024. Beginning Monday, November 4th. And every day this month, we feature a blast from the past, highlighting pages from this oldest and most respected newspaper of record over decades. Wonderful snapshots of a Bahamas transitioning from abolition of slavery to the period of internal self-governance and independence and into the 21st century. Surprising keepsakes for history buffs or anyone who just loves the Bahamas. Aaron, I'm looking at social media and Bahamians who live in Florida, Bahamians who live in Georgia, say they're coming home. They say they're scared. I don't know they're scared of, but he said they can't stay
in
America.
That's why you're there. That's why you're there, though.
They can't stay in America under a Trump reign. Do you expect a mass exodus of Caribbean people? Self-exodus. self-deportation by Caribbean people. So they're going home because they can't.
No.
No.
They know why they're there in the first place.
They're just talking. People just talking for talking's sake.
Yeah.
They ain't scared of nothing. They're trying to hide now.
If you could organize your life to transition from the States to the Bahamas, then you could organize a better life for yourself in the States despite the political changing of the political guard.
There you go. Let's go to the caller sim again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call girl once. Call girl twice. Let's go to the next one, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call girl twice. Let's go to the next one now, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? All the line is clear now. So you can call back. The numbers are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. And of course, you call it for the Family Islands. It's 242-357-20. Go ahead, Aaron.
To the point about third parties, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. failed to qualify for presidential debate with Biden and Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
R.F. Kennedy, we hadn't heard his name too much during the election, but it was very interesting. So well, I see you got a phone call. You want to go to the caller?
Let's, let's go to the caller. Because I remember back with the Ross Perot, when they had like three, four candidates debating, it made the American debate more palatable.
And see, what happens is there are rules to qualify to be on the debate stage, right? And so those third parties, those smaller parties, have a more difficult time getting onto the debate stage, which is why they have a more difficult time gaining exposure in the consciousness of the American
public. Is
that
the same thing we have in here with the COI and these other fledgling
like,
parties?
Technically here, I think what it is that the powers that be just refuse to have debates.
They don't
at
even
all.
Entertain them.
So there's no space for you to gain exposure.
Let's go to the callers there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Nothing again? Let's go to the next one again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, man. So as a Bahamian, right, I always say the only thing I really concern about the heads of states of other nations, especially the major power ones, if they are on a war footing or not, right? Because they want stability as a citizen of a nation that's heavily dependent on foreign imports and tourism. I know any global war could come. You put a tamping down on any global war, but the thing is, Trump is very overzealous about putting tariffs on China, like to the order of 200%, right? So I've been hearing on TV. And the Americans are cheering him on, like his faction, cheering him on to do this. But what they fail to realize is that through the course of history, wars are started more by people feeling that another nation is trying to impose an economic hardship on them, because China right now, their economy is kind of flailing. And so in this tech context, they may feel like this tariff thing from Trump is an act of war within itself, an economic act of war. Just see 1930s Germany and the way they felt about the reparations they had to give from World War One. You know, so a lot of people feel like because of Trump's military prowess, so supposedly that China wouldn't mess with him, but he got this economic zealousness for China, which could prompt them to do something to bring all heads to the table and let's just fight this thing out. You know what I mean? So
you know who United States owes billions and top of billions of dollars to?
Yeah, but see, that's
China.
Kind of a
they don't interrupt that. That's their credit.
Like that kind of, that's paper money. That's like digital money. People talk about all America wouldn't mess with them because China could call their debts in. Listen on Jamaica in the early or late 1970s and kind of brought their economy down to crashing, right? People think it could be the same thing, but China won't. The whole America is not as acceptable to their debt being calling in and it causing this hyperinflation as people kind of propose it to be. You know, it is not the same. It's not apples or oranges.
Okay, here you go. Thanks very much.
All right.
Let's go to the next caller there.
Listen, hold on. Just as we go, I'm looking at this headline. It says the U.S. is presently involved in 15, quote-unquote, shadow wars closed as from the 30th of July, 2023. That's under a Biden administration.
They've all kind of wars.
I just saying.
What about that war in the Ukraine? You think that could finally over? They could pull some people out? Because they spend trillions of dollars. They could be investing in the Bahamas. That's what I vex. I want more investment. The United States need to treat us better. They need to give us more money. We're the third border, and I don't think we're getting treated well. I need to complain and grumble. We need to get invited to more presidential meetings. Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Newey. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, hello, Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking you to do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Newey.
Hey.
A little quick comment here. What most people, but Ms. Green, firstly, you shouldn't even waste time with that caller who talking about black people is racist. I was so vexed until I thought you should just hang up on him. But the thing is, I want to share this, right? What most people are not looking at is the reasons for people voting for Trump. There are many reasons from state to state. The guy who was on Dwight's show yesterday morning, or I think, I actually like what he was saying. He was standing alone with Trump. But when the writing was on the wall with the shift in the demographic from the black and the Hispanic votes. Now, a lot of things that they were saying with Trump, about Trump, they are actually guilty of themselves. Number one, Joe Biden is a racist himself because during the civil rights movement, Joe Biden would have been about 16 to 18 years old. He didn't partake in anyone. They had black children from 13 to 12 years old participating in the Freedom March. So what people don't understand, when you are at the age of Joe Biden doors and Trump doors, they are innately racist. They don't want to tell you that. Trump can't do nothing to the black Americans that they haven't done before. Now, what one of the real reasons for many of the people, the redneck states people voting for Trump was, I want you to listen, public law 87297, okay? The rights to bear arms and take away their rights to bear arms. Now, why I sent you the Iron Mountain Report, I was asking you to do me a favor, because most of the imbecilic minds calling these stations, they don't realize that we're on a plantation. But what the Iron Mountain Report shows you, if it gives you a chronology from the 1940s to the 50s to the 60s of all of the global agendas of which the think tank, it's 150 feet underground in Hudson, New York, they get together with people of various disciplines and they wrote the blueprint for tyranny. And so if you don't read this, you're lost. I'm telling you. And so what happens now is that I won't see by the World Center. They have everything from how they use pollution and climate change and global crisis to unite the world under one girl governance. There is statements in there. I could go online and show you where Mikhail Gorbachev said out of his mouth that they will use the United Nations for the New World Moral Order. Ms. Green, I have been fighting global agendas for 34 years. No one can step in and override me because I come with the truth. I know this. I even see nothing. So politics don't move me. So it doesn't matter Trump or whoever in. That the only problem is with Trump is people voting because the constitutional right of America is the right to bear arms. All right? So okay. That is why people, because they know the tyranny that will exist within the government. We saw a little taste of the tyranny during the pandemic. This is why I was appalled to hear the word freedom and democracy coming out of Kamala and Joe Harris and Joe Biden their mouth. People don't understand. When you read I want everybody to hear my voice, go and Google the Iron Mountain Report. Now, when you Google it, you'll see many different pieces come up, but the one that's been the space shuttle taken on and off, you pay attention to that. And there's another 1 hour clip. You just need to listen to it and then form your opinion. Otherwise, people are really lost. They have the blueprint for tyranny. They show you how they will do. Even the guy even juxtaposed the book of Daniel. Show you how they will use. They will use land. They will divide the land for monetary gain. Right down to Revelation, to all leaders lending power to the beast and giving being a one town mind. It is biblical. Please read the Iron Mountain Report for me tomorrow on the station.
Thank you, 52. I will say this though, Nuri. There is an issue, a singular issue that's caused all of these people to gather around Trump, to vote for Trump, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the erosion of the right to bear arms, and what that means. There are other issues connected to that. So I just saw reading through the news this morning, a statement saying that for Republicans, immigration was one of the most important issues, while for Democrats, bodily autonomy and women's rights was one of the most important issues. A lot of people have compounded the issue around the right to bear arms and the erosion of the rights to bear arms and immigration. And some very wild things have been popping up, like people believe that the U.S. liberal government is allowing this massive, massive influx of migrants so that they can put them in the army, so that the American government would have an army that's prepared to stand for Americans in the time of internal conflict, right? Which would also hinge on the erosion of rights to bear arms, so citizens aren't able to defend themselves against an internal threat.
I'm going to ask you this question. Are Bahamians more conservative or more liberal?
Bahamians are more conservative.
So can they, do Bahamians are more accepting to a Republican type philosophy in contrast to a democratic type philosophy? Or nothing is hard, press, or solidified?
No, I don't even think we could use that type of language. I don't get here, right? Like, I could say, when you ask me, are we more conservative or liberal, I could say I would squeeze Bahamians into a more conservative box, right? But in terms of, do we lean to Republican or Democratic politics,
it's a different debate.
Yeah. I don't even think you could apply those terms to the Bahamas. There's no real fundamental difference between the PLP and the FNM.
You mean the PLP is not progressive and liberal?
No.
They're just a party.
Yeah.
And it's not a national movement about... No?
Not anymore.
They're playing with us with these names.
I mean, I think it's clear to everybody that the PLP of today is nothing of the PLP in its infancy.
They don't wipe the tears from our eyes?
They do, and then they squeeze it into a glass and say, here's some fresh, clean water that we barged in for you.
Oh, interesting. Let's try to squeeze this last caller in. Kermit. Oh, they hang up. See, I was trying to squeeze you in, caller, but you hang up too soon, right? But the caller called back. Let's Kermit, try to squeeze something in. Go ahead, caller.
Let me quick notice. I know this. The world will see us use our muscles, play sports, box, run, and $1 million, but they give us black power. They weren't there for that. Let's say jump like Trump, right? Trump love black people. Trump love rap music. Trump know, but Google Trump bigger vibes, cut hotel. Trump like dancehall.
I don't think Trump likes dancehall. And even if he did, he's not allowed to. I could say that. He's not allowed to like it. I don't think he's an opportunist. And that perhaps that's the most dangerous thing about Trump is it appears he has no ideology.
Mm. He's a populist type person.
He's an opportunist, right? And I think that's the danger of what we will import as in our vulnerability to cultural imperialism.
Short summary. You think the Bahamas and the Caribbean will have any issues with a Trump-led government? Or is it same old, same old?
No, I think we will have issues.
Like,
because we're not prepared. We can't move at the pace. We could barely move at the pace of U.S. governance. Now you have this erratic, irrational leader in place. We're not prepared to juxtapose ourselves to that Trump administration. We don't have the capacity, the speed, the quickness, or the mother's wit.
Anyway, this is America. Let the music play. Thank you very much, Kermit. Have a wonderful day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a good day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.